Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
I'm still dancing to our
intro
song.
And dance too.
It's the holidays.
And
'tis the season.
So I want to know, are you a get your Christmas tree the day after Thanksgiving kind of person, or are you get your Christmas tree today?
Somewhere in the middle. Normally it's like, yeah, I mean, normally it's about early December, like the second week in December. So this year it was last weekend. So,
yeah.
It'll only be up for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. That's about right.
But it was more based on like having the time to actually like put up the lights and manage it and get the water. And it sounds like sometimes it just feels like a lot of work. I'm going to say that. So we had to be able to block because I want to enjoy it. So you have to be able to block like an afternoon where you can like have music on and the fireplace going and actually really embrace it and enjoy it versus like running it in the door. I mean.
Right. And just dropping it in the corner.
And dropping it in the corner and being like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I agree. The whole
so
thing.
Every year it's kind of like, when is that moment where we're actually going to enjoy putting it up? How about you? What do you do?
Yeah, I think I'm same.
Same.
Yeah.
Importantly, do you buy your tree locally?
I do.
Where do you go?
Sometimes my backyard.
Actually, oh, do you?
Yeah. We actually used to have a great cut your own Christmas tree farm near us. And we replanted some of them because they're living trees. And sometimes they're, we have one that. It's going to work perfectly this year.
Is it the tree Kevin hangs out in?
Nope.
So you can get rid of the
it's
squirrel?
It's
Kevin Free. Oh. Because I thought maybe you were going to take away his favorite tree and you'd hope this,
well,
the squirrel that antagonizes your family.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Goes with it.
Wouldn't that be nice? I think, isn't that part of Christmas tree vacation?
It might be.
Like,
I think
something shoots out of the Christmas tree and it might be a squirrel. So, yeah.
I like that.
I think that's what you're thinking.
We might have to rewatch those movies too. I know we always end up typically at Buddy's, Grandma Buddy's in Grayton, since,
also
you know,
great.
Steve and, you know, his family, the Grayton folks. Yeah, but there's a lot of great, you know, we pulled a little list. There's a lot of great places, which I've gone to many of these. Garlock's in Sebastopol, Grayton's Fire Department has a Christmas tree farm, Larson's in Petaluma, Pranzini Farms in Petaluma, Celesta Farms in Sebastopol. So it's really nice to buy local.
It's fantastic. We have a lot. We have a lot here.
We do.
Yeah. I think I wrote something last year and it was...
like an abundance of...
I was really surprised how many.
Yeah. And fun to shop locally too. So clearly wine makes a good gift.
Wine
obviously
is the only gift.
It's the best gift. Okay. We're done.
Wine and maybe some candy.
Candy.
Maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you think about our local, like... you know, Journeyman Meats are great gifts for the holidays. So local, some more local.
Lots of cheeses.
I was going to say a lot of great local cheeses and chocolates. And also just shopping small business. Super important.
Sometimes feed stores make a very good place to shop locally.
Oh, super interesting.
Fun fact.
What would I get there?
You're going to have to go find out.
I'm going to have to, yes.
I recommend Swede's Feeds in Kenwood, but there are other options.
Yeah. Also, Ace Hardware Store in Sebastopol.
Same idea.
One of the best places to shop for anything.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back on today's Good Stuff. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have our guest, Joe Bartlemay, owner of Farmhouse Inn, Sonoma County Wine Growers, Sonoma County native. Yeah?
I am. Yep, I am.
All right. Well, you might have to start at the beginning.
He should be, because we just inducted his family into the Century Club. So if he wasn't native, and you're
you got
clearly
duped.
Not
you,
over,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying you're not over.
Who's doing
over
the background 100? Check?
Seriously.
That's what I want to know.
I was trying to fact check on air.
I know.
I was
looking at him, seeing, like, did you actually deserve that resolution?
You know what? He didn't flinch.
He didn't flinch.
It might be real.
He reached for the Hershey kiss, though. No.
I don't think he can reach.
Delay tactic, I think, was what was going on.
All right. So start at the beginning. I mean.
Yes. Oh, my God. Like, how long do we have?
Well, no. I mean, start at.
Take us back to 1911.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Sonoma County like?
Yeah, you know, let's go back to 1911. And I will say, you know, I am fifth generation Sonoma County. My family you know, they immigrated here from Italy in the late 1800s, like so many people that live here in Summit County. You know, I don't know what it was about like that era and why so many Italians came to Northern California, but they did, and they bought land and they planted multiple products. I mean, we didn't just grow grape. We grew prunes. We grew apples. We grew pear. We grew
dairy cattle. Agricultural story.
Yeah, I know. Back in the days when you diversified because year to year, you never knew what was going to be your cash crops. You had to have multiple crops. But yeah, they. My great-grandfather purchased our home ranch in 1911, which is funny that you said, let's go back to 1911. And Catherine, my sister, you guys know her. She still lives in the family homestead. And today, we still grow wine grape on the property. That's the only thing we grow. We have about 8 acres of apple trees that are just languishing that every year we, you know, they make enough apples to make some Thanksgiving pies and things like that. But it's like a reminder of kind of like, you know, kind of the agricultural roots of the area.
Yeah.
But yeah, grew up here. My my family, you know, migrated from Forestville to Santa Rosa. You know,
big move
to Santa Rosa. And I grew up in Santa Rosa with, you know, the ranch, as we call it, was always part of our family. And, you know, weekends are always spent there. And, you know, and it's interesting, like growing up in this world, and I didn't appreciate it. I didn't necessarily even think that there was going to be a future. I was going to stay in Sonoma County and still farm land and be a part of that. I thought, you know, there's a big world out there that seems so much more interesting than all of this. And, you know, I couldn't wait to leave. Mm. And I did. And I, you know, went to school in Southern California, lived in the East Coast for a while. And, you know, once you get away from here, you're like, oh, my God, like Sonoma County is amazing. Right? You need to see it through a different lens.
You do. And,
you know, as a parent, Virginia, our kids are the same age. It's kind of the same thing. You know, I think my son just came home and he's like, Sonoma County is so cool, Dad. And, you know, but it's like you kind of, you know, he's in, you know, the like Southeast L.A., right? So it's a big difference. But I think for me, you know, I came back in the early 2000s and haven't looked back and kind of dug in and, you know, and have been just really a big advocate for Summit County, a big advocate for farming. We started Farmhouse in 2001, which we bought like a dilapidated B&B, so it was already there. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like we started it, but we started it from kind of almost nothing and have just sort of been grinding ever since in sort of the world of wine and hospitality and restauranting.
But why a B&B and what got you into hospitality?
Because we didn't have anyone to tell us like what a bad idea that was. And it was sort of that whole like entrepreneurial quandary of like we kind of thought it was an interesting idea and we ran with it and there wasn't anyone along the way that told us not to do it. Not true. A lot of people told us not to do it, but they were the type of people that we felt compelled to do the opposite of what they said.
I can see that with you.
A challenge. You know, I think we had gotten sort of, and Catherine's my partner and my sister, and we'd sort of gotten this idea in our head because we, in the late 90s, we'd pulled out all of our old Zen that was like not producing and replanted Pinot Noir because it was this up and coming new grape that everyone was super excited about, mm-hmm. right? It was sort of very, you know, of the moment. But we really got kind of recommitted to the property and to kind of, you know, being grape growers and being part of this community and thought like, you know, what else can we do in this space? At the time, Catherine was at a winery called Alderbrook. If you guys remember that winery, it's now Orsi Families in that building. But she was the general manager there. You know, it was a tiny winery and, you know, it was like 8 people worked there. But, you know, it was a really exciting time. Like the late 90s, you know, wine in Sonoma County was really taking off. It was, you know, it was just, you could tell it was the beginning of what was going to be a really great era for this region. And we somehow wanted to participate in it. Like, again, the hotel, the B&B, the restaurant, that wasn't what we were thinking. But it was sort of, as we were kind of, you know, when you start thinking about doing something entrepreneurial, you sort of open yourself up to kind of, you know, what are the opportunities that exist and what's out there. And we met some people that said, you know, hey, this property is really cool and there's a lot of potential and, you know, Rushmore Valley is growing and it's not far from your home ranch. And, you know, it just seemed like there was enough interesting things. Mm-hmm. And for me, I had gotten my degree in structural engineering and been in the building industry, and I like to build. That's saying that I will always like to build. I will always find excuses to build things because it's just something that's really something that I like, right? Like, what do you think about when you don't have to think about work? I think about building stuff, right? It's just, I just like that. So, and it had, the woman that had owned it, even though it had been poorly run and was kind of derelict, had gotten some preliminary entitlement work done so that we could expand. And I liked that idea. You know, I was like, oh, if we can come in and we can grow this into, you know, it was 8 rooms. We can grow it into something bigger. Mm. We can make it really cool. We can make it world class. I made all these big ideas that everyone was like, you guys are crazy. You'll never make that happen. You'll never, ever do that. Which, for me, that was like, well, now that you said I never will,
yeah,
who I got to make
horrible
it happen.
People? Yeah. Who are these negative people? Yeah.
Yeah. And so we kind of went into it not knowing what we were getting ourselves into, which I think, honestly, for that type of project,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. You really need to not know because you don't really know what you can and can't do. And a lot of the things that people said we couldn't do, we did do because we didn't know that we couldn't do it. You know what I mean? Right, like a lot of times it's you're the biggest hurdle for getting things done.
Completely.
So, yeah, so we jumped into it and... it's been a roller coaster, but... But
talk about the decision to go into business with your sister.
I know, I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah. You know, you're part of a multi-generational family here, but then, yeah, how did, like, why or what was the...
Well, I think, you know, so we had already, so her and I had already kind of taken over the family ranch. We were the ones mm-hmm. that had talked my dad and my uncle into replanting the vineyard. And so it was kind of like, you know, we had sort of, we'd sort of had this experience of working together and you know, in this not huge project, and our vineyard's like 9 acres. It wasn't like it was a major undertaking, but for our family, it kind of felt like a big undertaking, and we liked it, and we felt like we worked well together. And we thought, like, you know, originally, like, let's do more on our home ranch. That's kind of where it all started, mm-hmm. was like, let's do something out there. Yeah. Can we put a winery out there? Can we build a hospitality center? What can we do on this property that we own? It had been, you know, in the life cycle of our property, you know, as we all know in agriculture, I mean, we'd had ups and downs, you know, and it had been, you know, a property that from like the kind of the late 70s to like the mid 1990s, it, you know, really barely gotten by, you know, it really had gone through kind of a period of, you know, of neglect, and no one really, you know, my dad and his brother both went and got like degrees and were like, we don't, you know, screw this. We don't want to be farmers. And, you know, and so like farming was coming back and it felt like it was going to be something that you could actually make a living off of again. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be part of that. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where it started.
Were you the only ones kind of interested in that of all? I mean, I imagine there were multiple
you know,
kids.
There were some cousins that were younger and they were kind of interested, but they weren't even like, they were still in like high school and college. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we sort of were the ones that said,
the natural.
We wanted to do it. Catherine was the oldest of kind of my generation. She mm-hmm. was in the wine industry. She kind of pitched everyone on the idea and kind of got us excited. And, you know, and kind of once you get some momentum, you're going to want to keep running with it. And we felt like we worked well together. And so, you know, the B&B wasn't anything that we ever imagined, but we kind of stumbled upon it, immediately like saw that it had like really good bones. I was like, oh my God, we can turn it into something really amazing. I know we can do that. The price was right. And I was 27. She was like 31. We weren't, you know, we had no money. We just were, you know what I mean? We took out a bank loan and, you know, borrowed a small amount from like some family members and, you know, and just did
just
it.
Went for it.
I still mm-hmm. had a full-time job for the first 4 years as an engineer because we couldn't afford, you know, couldn't afford to pay me. So I worked nights and weekends. And, you know, and there's a time in your life before you have kids when you just, when you just have what feels like endless time, right? You know what I mean?
Or
you
and energy.
And energy, right? Yeah. You know, and so.
And more money.
And you don't need much money. You know, right, you're used to getting by with nothing, right? Top ramen is a meal, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, so I would work all day. I would work nights. You know, I was the restaurant guy. So, back in the day, we were Thursday through Sunday. So I would be the host every night in the restaurant. So Thursdays and Fridays, I'd get off work and go straight to farmhouse and, put on my blazer and be the restaurant guy, right? Every Saturday morning for like 10 years, I cooked breakfast. So I was, because we had, you know, it's a 7-day-a-week business is hard with, you know, our labor, you know, 40 hours a week is 5 days a week. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we had a breakfast chef, but then we had 2 days a week, me and one other person would do breakfast, right? And it was just so, you know, and again, we had 8 rooms. It wasn't that many people back in the day. And honestly, you know, it was great. You bring them out their food. You talk to them. You forge relationships. A lot of the success we had at Farmhouse wasn't necessarily it wasn't like the quality of the facility. It was the experience that we're providing. Mm-hmm. It was the connectedness. It was the relationships that we built, right? People fell in love with kind of us and what we were doing and our team, and they came back again and again and again. Like that's, you know, I've always said in this industry, in the hospitality industry, it's not about having the best facility. It's about having like the best people.
Right.
You know, people will overlook a mediocre facility that has like great service, a grape facility with mediocre service, people won't come back, right? And so we didn't know that at the time. It wasn't like we consciously said that out loud. It just was sort of
just who you were,
who we were, how we operated. Yeah, you know, and we were there all the time. And so,
did it surprise you how much you liked it, or what?
It did. Honestly, yeah, because you know, I got my degree in engineering. I was going to be an engineer, you know, and I think,
which is a little different than not always
very hospitable,
yeah,
or social.
I don't know. I think I'm pretty hospitable, but
seem way more like a hotelier than you do an engineer.
I don't think I really understood, and you know, and I didn't for a long time. Like, I think it's only like in recent years that I've understood that, like, you know, I connect with people. I'm outgoing. I'm friendly. The mind of like a service organization is you got to be like one step ahead. You got to be looking for problems to solve. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something, that's not learned behavior. Either you have that or you don't. Yeah. Right. No one ever, like, I never knew that about me, and it wasn't really ever anything that, like, growing up that someone said, hey, you've got this thing that you should pursue this path. It was serendipitous. I ended up in this industry because I think, you know, I'm good at it, but I didn't know I was good at it when we did it. It wasn't like I was like, I just want to build things, right? That was what got me into it. But then I think ultimately, and Catherine is really good at it too. So together we were good at it, and we held each other accountable, and we called each other out on things if we weren't honoring what we needed to honor, right? Like, we really, I think it's so important to have a partner in something like this, especially when you don't know what the hell you're doing. Because not only can you commiserate, but you can also, like, sometimes be like, hey, you could do this better, or I need to hear I could do that better. Or, you know, we need to be able to have a conversation about why this is or isn't working.
So, fun fact, when I was in high school, my dream was to be a hotel GM. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's right.
I competed
in the hotel.
In this like hospitality marketing nerdy like thing called DECA and won nationals. I went shadowed the GM. I really wanted to be the GM at the Broadmoor Hotel since I grew up in Colorado Springs.
I love that.
After South Dakota. So I shadowed him in.
Is that the Shining Hotel?
Seventh grade. No, that's in.
That's when I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. No. Oh my gosh. Estes Park.
Estes Park. That's right. Okay.
But yeah. So then I actually thought about going to Cornell or going to hotel school. Yep. And then I was like, you know, but I really like the marketing part more than probably the management part. So broadened so that I could always go back into the hotel business, but enter it through a business degree. So
not too late. I feel like I'm bridging a little bit of that
hospitality with the wine growers. I remember I geeked out. I shadowed every like GM at every hotel in Colorado Springs. My mom would drive me around, drop me off for the day.
That's
totally
hilarious.
Have to pick me up.
The crazy thing is this industry, and I love hearing that story, but I would say 98% of the people I know in the hospitality industry did not intend to get in the hospitality industry. My story is not a unique one. Mm-hmm. Almost every person I meet, you know, did a summer working in a restaurant or got a gig being a bellman, right? You know, they find a backdoor way. And it's sticky, and they stay with it, and they climb the ladder. And before they know it, they're managing a department, or they're on a path to become a general manager. But it, you know, in other parts of the world, like, you know, in Europe, people go to hotel school. It's very much a profession that people want to do. In America, no one says, other than young Chris or Cruz, I want to be in the hotel business.
Totally.
It just doesn't, you know, we all kind of land here in sort of a backwards way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about hotels on the good stuff. Stuff talking with our guest Joe Bartolome, owner of Farmhouse Inn, Sonoma County wine grower. So much that you've done already. I'm like exhausted by like the whole notion of opening an inn. But the important,
the accidental
inn. But a big part of Farmhouse has always been, and a great part of your success has been the restaurant. So talk about that, because
it's those breakfasts he made early days.
Exactly, the poached eggs that led to Michelin star. Certain people's lives. Yes. No, I mean, an inn is one thing, but like, you have a world-class restaurant, so you have achieved that. How do you sort of approach that side of the business? I know it's a tough one.
Yeah, well, so early on, we, made the conscious decision. I don't want it to sound like everything was super haphazard, though most of it was super haphazard. But, we made the decision early on to really focus on the restaurant. We understood that, like, as an eight-room inn, we had growth aspirations. We wanted, and today we're, a massive 25 rooms, but it feels a lot bigger than the eight rooms where we started. But we really believed that the restaurant could be kind of a juggernaut for the property. If we could really build a reputation for the restaurant, if we could be a destination-worthy restaurant, then that would be something that would cause people to come. And it would be, it would allow us to grow the rest of the property and ultimately, be successful. And so when we bought this dilapidated little B&B, the guy that was in the kitchen, there was already a restaurant there, was this guy named Steve Litke, and he wasn't gonna stay. He was sort of just in between gigs. He had been at a restaurant, and you'll remember Virginia because you've been here forever, but Bistro Ralph in Healdsburg, remember? Oh, he'd been there.
I remember that too.
Yeah, you remember that? And
yes,
he had
a
falling out with Ralph Tinkle. They
didn't everybody?
Yeah, he did. Everyone did, right? Yeah. Just like everyone else. And so he was literally just, like cooking at Farmhouse while he figured out what was next. And so,
Did you have the good French fries?
No, we did not. That was years, but we didn't get a fryer for like the first 18 years. Believe me, that was always like, I was like, I'll know we made it when we've got good French fries. Like, that was like, but that didn't happen right away. But he was, we immediately connected with him and liked him a lot and saw they had great potential and said, hey, we don't really know what we're doing and we're super young and we're kind of new to this. But we really think the restaurant could be important, and we want the restaurant to kind of be the star of this property. Like, are you interested? Mm. And he was kind of like, well, I don't really have anywhere else to go right now.
Just what you want.
Yeah, kind of. It wasn't like a hell yes, but it was also like, well, I'll give it some time. Let's see what we can do. And and we didn't know anything about running a restaurant, but we did know a lot about good food and we knew a lot about community. We grew up in this big Italian family that was together all the time. And so we knew kind of like how that felt. And we'd been fortunate enough to have traveled a lot as a family growing up and had eaten in some great restaurants. So we had like enough knowledge of kind of what we liked and didn't like to feel like we could go down a path. So, we really dug in and said, we want the restaurant to be great. We, his name's Steve Litke, we all call him Steve-O. Steve-O really invested in building out a really special menu, and he was doing something at the time that wasn't normal and that, didn't really exist in other restaurants very much, which was he was sourcing almost everything locally. Mm. He had a lot of great relationships with farmers. He really liked the farming community here in Sonoma County and really felt like that was, a great expression to put on the plate of kind of this local produce, local meat type thing. And that didn't really exist. Like the term farm to table didn't really come into like the vernacular until like 2005, 2006. This was like 2001. So we didn't even know that's what you called it. We just did it because that's what you do, right? You live somewhere and there's great things available to you. So you use it. And he was bought into that already, which was great because we very much liked that as well. And it was sort of how Catherine and I were raised. So, as I already said, I was working the restaurant every night, running off my day job to my night job, putting on the blazer. But, we served good food and we hired a great team and we provided great service. We were small. We had like two guys in the kitchen and three people in the front of the house and, slowly built out a wine program. You guys, obviously, Jeff Cruth, who is my wine partner, our wine director forever and ever, joined pretty early on. Mm-hmm. And we started getting attention, and I think we weren't getting attention because we hired a marketing team. We weren't getting attention because we were, like today, the channels that you would enlist today to like get exposure. Like we were just getting attention organically through like word of mouth. And in 2002, right? So it was a year after we opened, back in the day when like restaurant critics ruled the day.
Yeah.
The San Francisco Chronicle gave us 3.5 stars. It was like a huge, huge review. We were like one of the top three restaurants of the year in the Chronicle.
Wow.
And the top 100 restaurant list came out and we were on that list. And we just sort of like, we just got on everyone's radar.
Yeah.
You know, every write-up that would happen, you know, Bon Appetit would do a story about wine country, and we were in it. Ruth Reichel came and stayed with us. Like, we just started showing up on everyone's list, and I think people liked us. They liked our story. They liked, we were earnest, and we were hardworking, and we were really authentic. Like, we didn't even, and again, we didn't intend to be authentic. We just were. You know, it wasn't like a decision, right? It wasn't like, we're like, we're going to be an authentic enterprise. That's one of our values. We just were. But we started, you know, we just sort of got the attention of the right people, and with that we got more recognition, and with that recognition we got more interest, and that, you know, in the restaurant went on to become very, very successful. Yeah. You know, we had this great, like, kind of 18-year run where the restaurant did really, really well. We were kind of everyone's favorite celebratory restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, and our best regulars would come like twice a year, but that's great because, you know, they would come for their anniversary, they'd come for a birthday. No one ever just came to Farmhouse on a because they were hungry. Like, it was always like a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we took care of them, you know, and we, you know, early on we were putting people's names on menus before a lot of restaurants even owned printers. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we really were trying to come up with ways to make it as special as possible.
Yeah.
And I think we're ahead of the curve on a lot of that, and it really connected with people, and people liked it, and it felt a little bit like Cheers. You kind of want to go somewhere where everyone knows your name. But, you know, I had a team at the front of the house that was with us for years and years and years, you know, and so we really became that sort of, we were fine dining, and people felt like they were getting this very elevated experience, but in other ways it was very familiar and comfortable because everyone was so friendly and kind and warm, and we really tried to kind of straddle that and be kind of in that sweet spot in the middle where you're kind of, and that's that's sort of the story of Sonoma when we get it right. Mm-hmm. It really is. We're the high and the low, right? You know, we super elevated product, but super human, super approachable, real people, you know? And so, the restaurant did really, really well in 2006 when the Michelin Guide came to the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. For the first time
ever, we got a star, which was great. And we kept that star for 14 seasons until Steve Litke retired in 2021. So that, you know, and at the time, only us and Auberge du Soleil were the only two restaurants that had been in the guide consecutively for all those years. Like, that was,
that's a big one. Yeah.
At the time, I never thought it was that big of a deal. I was always thinking about, like, what was next. But I look back and think that's a big deal.
That's something
that very few people can say, you know. And it, you know, and it wasn't just our chef; it was our entire team.
Right.
We worked hard every year to make sure we got that star. You know, the food is ultimately the deciding factor. Every bit of the experience, every bit of what we were doing was all of us working together, all of us bringing our A game every day, all of us, you know, really every night saying tonight's the most important night. Every guest tonight is potentially the Michelin inspector. We have to treat every
honestly, you kind of need to do that,
but not in like a scary, stressful sort of way, but in a just like, hey, remember, like every guest you're interacting with, it's the most important guest here. Every guest is choosing to spend time with us. They're celebrating a special occasion. We want them to feel like they made a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little extra love. Give them a little extra care, you know, and we did that. And it worked for us.
I spent my 50th birthday there this past summer.
Aww.
I know, having lunch.
Well, I love that.
I know.
We're everyone's favorite celebratory place.
Exactly.
Were you treated like a Michelin inspector, possibly?
Absolutely.
Very good to hear.
She wore a suit. She spoke in a French accent.
Totally.
Everyone was freaked out.
I don't know why I was throwing everyone off with that, but it seemed perfectly
very
normal
demanding.
To me.
She sent everything back.
Yeah, it was very demanding, obviously.
Yes. Okay. Well, very good. We have to take another quick break on the good stuff. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
things up with our guest on today's Good Stuff, Joe Bartlamé of Farmhouse Inn, Sonoma County wine grower. Let's talk a little bit in the time that we have left about the wine grower side of your world.
We're so proud of him.
Oh, I know. It's the best thing you do every day is get those grapes. So tell us a little bit about that side. I mean, I know you had a wine brand for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you still do. Tell us.
So, like I said earlier, we replanted the vineyard in, I think, 95 to Pinot, and it's a great little vineyard. I mean, it's super hilly. It's hard to farm, but it produces great fruit, right? Usually that's the case. Like, the harder it is to farm, the better the fruit is, mm-hmm. the more expensive.
Yeah, often.
You know, lots of stuff I wish we knew back then that we know now.
True is that about so many things?
Right, you know, you're kind of like, oh, we'll plant it. It'll make tons of money. This will be easy and great.
So great.
But, you know, we've had a lot of, I think, good success over the years. We, for a long time, we sold our fruit to Redcar, and Redcar did a vineyard designate, and it was great. I had a wine director at Farmhouse for a long time, a guy named Jeff Kruth, who you guys all know, another bit of a interesting character. But Jeff,
yes.
and at the time, we had a som on the floor who'd been with us for a very long time, Megan Glob.
And
Megan was amazing and psalmed for us through both her pregnancies and was this woman who eternally looks like she's 19. Like, I don't know how she does it, but she still gets carded, right? Going off to college. But Megan had grown up in Monterey. Her parents owned Passion Fish, and she was doing their wine list in her teens because she was just one of those crazy wine people. And Jeff and Megan said, hey, you know, we love your fruit, and why don't, you know, would you ever consider doing a wine label? Mm-hmm. And like, we're like, what does that mean? And what does that look like? And what do you do if you make wine, and how do you sell it? But again, you know, based on sort of the whole Farmhouse story I shared earlier, I like doing crazy things, and didn't have a lot of data and said, you know, hey, let's give it a try. So, we, in 2010, we took half the fruit from the vineyard, and our vineyard's mm-hmm. small, and I think we typically get, like, maybe on a good year, we'll get like 15 tons of fruit. It's not a high yielding vineyard. So, not even our first year we took, I think we just took enough to do like 50 cases. So I think we did like, what's that, like 2 tons mm-hmm. to do, right?
And yeah, so, not a lot.
Yeah, but you know, and we made a Pinot. Megan made it as our winemaker. If you guys don't know, she has Rye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her and her husband Ryan, and they were just getting that off, up and going. She was still working full time at Farmhouse. She was a young mother, but, and we loved the product, and you know, we thought it turned out great. And part of what we were focusing on back in 2010 was getting away from the very California style of Pinot that was very popular at the time and kind of dominated the market and certainly has a place and people love it, but we wanted to go for more of a true Burgundian style. We were doing, you know, no new oak and picking at higher acid and lower sugar and just really wanted to, you know, I feel like it was the beginning of kind of that Sonoma County movement to get away from the California style of winemaking. Mm. And we, you know, as a restaurateur, we knew those wines paired better with food. So that was kind of what really sold us as like, let's make a wine, let's make a Pinot that's really, really food friendly.
Yeah.
So we started that in 2010, and then 2011 we took the whole vineyard. We named it Lost and Found, mm-hmm. which was, that's a whole nother story. It was a super fun project. But I think that, you know, that ultimately I think the big issue was I think a lot of small wineries struggle with this. We were too small to hire people. Mm-hmm. And the people that we had all had full-time jobs.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it was everyone's side hustle. And
but you did buy grapes for me.
And we did buy grapes from Carissa.
To go full circle from the Sonoma Mountain.
Right. We did. And that allowed us to get beyond Pinot because that was a big issue was, you know, people would have it in the restaurant and say, what else do you do? And we don't do anything else. So like,
Chardonnay,
that's too bad. So we were like, I think, you know, and you know, here in Summit County, if you're going to pour people on wine, you need at least two varietals, but ideally three or four, you know, and so we, you know, over time we grew it and we grew the portfolio. And we had great success. I remember like in 2011, John Bonnet, remember him? We showed up in, I think that, the top 100 wines of the year, which was great. Again, mm-hmm. like kind of the restaurant, we got a lot of early on success. And I think, again, never underestimate the importance of like a really passionate, enthusiastic story. People love the story. So if you've got a good story, you know, and we know wine, and wine's like 50% how it tastes and like 50% how it makes you feel. And we had a lot of good story with our wine.
Right.
And we did the winery up until, I want to say, like 2022. Mm-hmm. The pandemic did us in. We just, I think that, you know, right.
Simplify.
You know, but it was a great journey, and I learned so much. And I think I think why I continue to like be a big champion of the wine industry, why I'm constantly bugging Krissa about like, hey, we should do this, we should do that, is I know what it's like, having been a restaurateur and selling wine, right? Being a grower and growing grape, and then being owning a winery and really having to like deal with navigating the you know, selling wine, it's a very competitive space, and you really got to hustle. And for small wineries, like even, you know, it's, everything is resource constrained, and it's really, really hard to find your audience. And there's so much other, you know, you may have the best customer ever, but it doesn't mean they're going to buy another case from you next year when you reach out to them, you know? And so, it was a great journey, I think. And I think we could have done better with it if we had at the time had the ability to dedicate more resources, but we were still really focused on farmhouse. Jeff was really focused on, at that point, he was gotten onto the Guild Somme and was doing that thing. Megan had Ryan, none of us could make it our primary. So, it kind of fizzled out, but I'm still really proud of what we did and the wine that we made. And
well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Good Stuff. We are out of time. And
oh my gosh.
I know.
Well, this is great.
Have
thank you guys.
Back on.
Yeah. I feel like there's so much more we could have talked about.
So that was a lot to go to go over with Joe.
It was a lot. We could have kept going and going and going.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the restaurant alone, but then getting into the wine side, and he's so involved in tourism in Sonoma County,
and a grower.
Yeah, and you guys work together a lot on different things.
New Century Club member for the wine growers.
Yep, barely mentioned. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've stayed at the hotel and eaten at the restaurant.
Right.
I recommend both.
Well, yes, absolutely. I think, you know, we didn't give any info on how to find out more, but farmhouseinn.com, reservations at farmhouseinn.com if you want to book a room or book a dinner. You don't have to stay there to have a meal, so it's important to
point out. And even when I was on the board of United Way, we would actually do some, like, donor little, like, thank you appreciation lunches and stuff there, which is great. We've taken sommeliers through there. It's just a great place. And obviously, I'm connected because I sold them grapes for a while. So that was probably some of my original interactions with Joe was in that time.
He has a lot of energy.
I know he does.
He can do a lot of things.
He has a lot of energy. I guess he does.
Yeah. 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 I think you have to in that whole business. So, one of the Sonoma County gems in terms of, and sort of old school, old world, hotel, restaurant put together, have a great meal. Walk not far to your room.
Yeah. Well, and I got to give, Lost and Found was the first wine that really did a vineyard designate from my Nines Vineyard on Sonoma Mountain. So that's kind of fun. So that's definitely going to be my Tuesday night wine because I have some more of that still in my cellar.
Wow. You went very quickly.
I know. Do you like that? Just like this. I was thinking about it. And I was like, I remember at the time, like it was really exciting to.
Yeah.
Because I was working at the wine growers, but also had my vineyard. So I was selling grapes and figuring out the farming. And
so it would have been featured at the restaurant.
Yeah.
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 Even
which
better.
Which is very cool.
Or in some of the rooms too. Yeah, because they started to do that.
Yeah. That I don't know about, but it definitely was on the wine list at the restaurant.
Okay. So. Well, my choice for Tuesday night is actually a winery that I got to visit not long ago. That's really quite close to the farmhouse. It's called Autour.
Oh, yeah.
Autour has been around for a long time in Sonoma County, but just opened a really beautiful tasting room on Waller at River Road. So
amazing.
Steps away.
I want to go check that out.
Really great.
Love them and love the wine. So
absolutely. So 23 Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir is my choice. And go visit. It's a great wintry place to try their wines, sit and look over the Russian River Valley, and then go over to farmhouse.
Yeah.
Have dinner. That's a pretty perfect day.
Well, I'm going to pull an 18 Lost and Found Syrah, vineyard designated the Nines, out of my cellar for Tuesday night.
How many vintages were there?
That's a great question. I want to say 4.
And did you work with Megan specifically?
Megan and Jeff.
Okay.
So Jeff Kruth and then Megan. So Jeff and I would kind of like negotiate you know, like pricing and timing and stuff. But then Megan would come out and actually like walk the vine rows with Jeff and me and like talk about timing for harvest and et cetera. So yeah, I got to know both of them.
Were you a hard negotiator?
Probably not. I don't know. I was just excited that they were excited.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of, you know, the grapes went to Argo for a while. The wine brand I started with my ex-husband years and years ago. And so then, you know, when we had grapes for sale, it was just, I feel like most growers, you're just excited to like have someone excited about your vineyard and the fruit and excited to make wine from this place that you've invested a lot of sort of energy and time and money and resources into creating. So I kind of had that thrill of like, okay, like there's someone that cares about this smut and wants to do great things from it.
Can't wait to drink it.
Yeah. Well, so sounds like you want an invite over is what I'm hearing.
Maybe. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.